Good evening, guys. Welcome once again to The Tripod. My name's Alex, and together with Jacob every single week, break down every single NRL game from a betting perspective. Last week, we had another winning weekend. So, like I said, last week, we're up about, if you're a $100 better on the NRL and you bet $100 on every single one of our bets, you're up about $20,000 this year. We'll just get Jacob into the broadcast and then we can get things kicked off. And preliminary finals this weekend, so only fuck it's gone quick, but we are only 2 weeks left of the NRL, so completely stoked about that. How are you, buddy? I was just saying it's only 2 weeks left of the NRL. It's gone very quickly.
Yeah, I heard you, mate. And $20,000, you can't argue too much with that either, can you? For just numbers risking 100 lie. Per game. And when you say risking, I mean, we've gradually just built our bankroll and built on it and built on it every week. I mean, we're into the 29th week of the season right now, and I think we lost money 2 out of those 29 weeks. Those 2 losing rounds were only losing by 1 bet, something like 7 losses out of 13 kind of story. And last week, 6-1, I think we went. With six best bets on the Cowboys-Eels game, which was our favourite side. And we said that we loved the Cowboys. We've been riding the Cowboys through the first 2 weeks of the finals. And we should talk about last week's games. We got on late with the Broncos. We waited, knowing that Boyd was probably going to be scratched, just as we said a week ago. It was very unlikely he was going to play. But we liked Brisbane. There was no point getting involved until he was ruled out because there was going to be an adjustment. And we actually got the Broncos -5.5. I mean, they were leading by 6 late in that game. They kick a field goal in by 7. Another great example of it all depends when you got that line, because that line was as high as 8.5 during the week and as low as 5.5 or 6 on game day. So,
and not only that, on both sides. Yeah, and not only the time of the bet, but also just being able to shop around for different bookies, because even just before kickoff, I mean, obviously at the end they won by 7, so, you know, -6.5 would have covered anyway. But before kickoff, you know, easily could have won by 6 at the end of that one. They were leading with 6 by 6, you know, with 10 minutes left. But that was the only site. Pinnacle was the only site with -5.5. You know, if you got 6.5, you would have just scraped through in the end. But that's another example, you know, even though it did win, that being able to have multiple bookies and shop around is imperative, especially when, you know, towards finals time, those lines are very sharp. Most sites have the line at the same number.
And the thing is, we were saying to each other, man, we probably should have taken Penrith +8.5. Like, as we said, they really were in that contest. And even, you know, watching that one, Broncos looked tired. And that's one of my takeaways from last Friday night. I was actually in attendance. And, you know, my takeaway first half was sensational defence. Penrith threw a bit at them. Penrith probably didn't throw enough at them. But Brisbane's defence was rock solid. And that's the kind of defence they have to at least match, if not even go one step better, to have a chance down in Melbourne, which we'll talk about in a minute. My second takeaway is just that, like, Brisbane are starting to get some lumps. You know, it's been a tough slog, pushing for top 4, chance at top 2. They've been in some tough battles. Obviously, like, that first week of the finals was a tough one, down to the wire. This one was tough. I mean, obviously, Corey Oates, that was a sickening hit that he took. You have Darius Boyd and Pangai Jr. copping hammy injuries in round 26. I mean, Thaiday took a hit. So they've got a few blokes that, you know, are not 100%, and you definitely have to try and factor that in. It's definitely a tricky part, you know, in the mix when you're trying to handicap a game. But those are my 2 kind of big takeaways from Friday night. But yeah, like, if you'd liked Penrith, which we didn't mind Penrith, we would have at least got them +7.5. So, I mean, that's the great thing about, if you're good enough to read the markets and shop around, it wouldn't have actually mattered which team we ended up picking on Friday night. We would have won either way and potentially could have even won on both of them.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And yeah, if we're talking about that game last week, Broncos-Panthers, I had written down as well, you know, that they just looked tired at the end, like you said. That last 15-20 minutes, they just looked gassed. And I really did think, I did not feel safe for 1 minute when they were up 6 points with 15 minutes to go. I thought Panthers were the better team for the last, you know, 15 minutes. You know, I thought it was a very emotionally and physically draining game for them. You know, it was very hard fought. And, you know, up in the forwards, like you see, like Thaiday, Blair, they were putting everything into their tackles. They were fucking, you know, making multiple tackles per set. And that's that try that the Panthers scored with 15 minutes left. You know, Thaiday was fucking 20 metres behind the play the ball. They could not get back in time. They were absolutely gassed. I think that's going to hurt them this week. Another takeaway for me, and I know Boyd's back this week, so they get to reshuffle, but Benji Marshall was fucking terrible. He is absolute an abomination in that game. His kicking game, his first three kicks were terrible. He could not find the grass for the life of him. I think he may have kicked one out of the full. He was shanking kicks left and right. So, I mean, I'll get into that when we get to Broncos Storm, but that is a huge boost that they can move him out of the halves there. He was very bad.
I think he shanked a bomb so bad that it nearly fell right into the lap of Oates.
Yeah.
Or was it Carter?
That wasn't on broke for a trot.
Yeah, so if Boyd plays, then you would assume that Nikorima moves maybe to the bench and maybe Benji doesn't get a run. That's probably what you'd hope. And we are Broncos fans, but, you know, we will get to our thoughts on that game. We've been more than willing to bet against our own team over the last 3 years. You don't win 68% of your 50-50 line bets by playing your favourite team every week. We definitely look for line value. And we can talk about kind of other theories that go into handicapping the preliminary finals. I mean, thinking back to a year ago, I think tonight's pod's a really difficult one because it's two very difficult games. A year ago, you know, I sat in front of everyone. You were actually gallivanting around Europe. But, you know, yes. I sat in front of everyone and confidently said that the Sharks are going to be too good for the Cowboys. The Cowboys are just too worn out and the Sharks at home will roll them. And Raiders are going to be every chance to beat the Storm and that line's too high. And it was very confident and I'd already bet my own money on two sides, clearly. Whereas this week, I don't think either of us have actually even touched either of these games yet because I think the bookies probably have the lines close to where they should be. But before we get to that, I guess we've got to talk about Saturday night. I mean,
yeah,
not as much controversy this weekend, but two great games and... I mean, the Cowboys were sensational. I mean, I was screaming at the TV first half because we were all over the Cowboys. And yeah, I think six best bets on that game. We lost only one. The one we lost was Eels not to score in the first 13 minutes. And they did score off a bomb, an attacking kick, which Radford takes away to the big house at the other end. So that's an unlucky beat. And then every other bet we had, like time of first Cowboys try, Cowboys team total, Cowboys halftime line, Cowboys full-time line, Cowboys to win a half. These all cashed, as people know. But that was just, that wasn't the only kick return try they conceded. They conceded a second try off an attacking kick. And when you're a big underdog, like 8-point underdog, to concede two tries completely against the run of play is got to be such a gut punch. Like, most teams don't recover from that. For them to come back, not only cover, but win the game outright, that just shows, that speaks volumes for the character of this side, the mental strength and the determination. And they, you know, they don't blink. They've been down now 2 weeks in a row as dogs and they fight back and get the outright win. I thought that was sensational. And I think everybody is now well aware of what we've been saying for the last kind of 2 weeks, that the Cowboys really are the real deal. And 1-17, it's a side that can make serious noise in the finals. The issue is now... secret's completely out.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's the thing. And, I mean, we've been on them, like you said, the last 2 weeks where they've won outright as, you know, 8.5-point underdog. I guess my main takeaway from that is, yeah, you're right. I mean, the Cowboys just do fight tooth and nail for 80 minutes. And they have played 80 minutes for the last fucking 6 weeks of the comp. You know, like, even against the Broncos.
They played 90
minutes in round one. But, I mean, even, you know, round 26, fucking, you know, lost 20-10 against the Broncos, but they fought tooth and nail to the end, scored a try in the last minute. I mean, they are a well-coached side. They put in every single week. But what I did take away is that their forwards really, they lost the forward battle against the Eels. The Eels, you know, even though the Cowboys fought really hard, they didn't necessarily do anything great to win the game. They just fought for 80 minutes and played solid footy for 80 minutes. If anything, I think the Eels really lost that one. They made silly mistakes at terrible times. Their halves didn't get involved enough. You know, Moses was non-existent. Corey Norman didn't do enough. But I really thought that the Eels dominated them in the forwards. And I think that's a worrying sign for them coming up against the Roosters next week. And I'll talk about that when we get to that.
And, you know, we've said that Brad Arthur might be the second best coach in the comp. But, you know, you have to start thinking about Paul Green in that discussion. He out-coached King Arthur in that one, you'd have to say.
Totally.
And you know, you can't talk about that game and how exciting it was. We also cashed 1-12, we should say, Cowboys to win by 1-12 at 450. So that was juicy as. You can't talk about that game without talking about Taumalolo. And we did, you know, it's one thing to say after the game that he's the best forward in the comp, but we said it before the game that, you know, he can dominate and he alone can swing the forward battle in his team's favour. And he was just fucking, once again, I mean, the season he's had in the last 10 years, he's got the second most metres of any player. And if you look at the top 10 players' metres gained in the last 10 years, he's the only forward on the list. Usually fullbacks. It's just like ridiculous what he's doing. His post-contact meters, I think he had over 100 meters after contact. He is a serious handful, but, you know, the Roosters do have some boys that can probably, you know, serve it up to him just as well, or at least match him and maybe mitigate what he can do. And then the other player that you have to talk about is Michael Morgan. You know, if JT and then Taumalolo isn't the form player of the comp right now, it's Morgan. And that's crazy to think that the two best players on form right now, you can argue, and the two most important players, if you took them out of a team, how much that points spread would change, potentially is Jason Taumalolo and Michael Morgan. Yeah. I don't know any other player that moves the line more than those two. They're fucking both playing out of their skin. They give their team a chance to win every week.
Totally. Yeah, and Morgan's just come out of his shell. He's played absolutely unbelievable the last 2 weeks. Just been, yeah, obviously by far best on field last week. And Taumalolo, yeah, like I've been saying, I mean, I've said this fucking every single week. How hard is it if you're a forward to fucking get bulky? All of them are bulky. You know, obviously Taumalolo is an exception. He's fucking massive. But it's not too difficult to fucking run it hard every time. But not everyone can do it. There's only a few blokes that can run fucking hard for 80 minutes. And Taumalolo manages to do it week in, week out, and that is why he's, you know, possibly the best forward in the comp.
I mean, you're pretty bulky yourself, mate. I think you make it sound a little bit too easy. I mean, he doesn't just run it hard; he runs it with, like, ferociously with that kind of power. Yeah. Like, yes. it's impossible for two people to stop him. It seriously takes at least three. He's a threat to offload. I mean, his hits and defense were underrated against the Eels too. Smashed blokes, and then on top of that, it's not just the ability to run it hard once in a while. Like, he's playing like 65 minutes a game, and his intensity in the final five is equal to what it is in the first five. So he's an absolute specimen of, you know, I've got to say, and he's a force to be reckoned with. Totally. And we'll get to that game. That's the second of the two games to handicap. This is always an interesting week, the preliminary finals. We always talk about the betting public and the general public having a short memory. So when you have two sides that didn't play last week, the public does kind of remember. Obviously, the two sides that did play last week won, and that's going to be the freshest in the public's memory, which is maybe going to swing them onto the sides that have played more recently. But of course, those sides that are arrested for a reason, because they probably finished higher on the ladder. They got the job done in week one, and they've got the benefit of being fresh. And that's the kind of argument people throw around: rest versus rust. But I think we both agree that you'd definitely rather have that week off, and it is an advantage that people need to, you know, respect.
Totally agree. And I mean, in the NRL, I'd say we probably consider that, you know, at an estimate to be worth about 1 point in a point spread to have that week off. But yeah, like you said, the public does have short memories. You know, your average punter, they like to bet what they saw last. And, you know, what they saw last was the Broncos and the Cowboys winning. However, I think it's more pertinent in the Cowboys' case because they won as massive underdogs. You know, they won as 8.5-point underdogs, whereas the Broncos barely covered against the Panthers side at home. So I think in the public's eye, they'll be jumping on the Cowboys more so than the Broncos just because of last week's results. But in saying that, should we get into the games for this week, mate? We got two games, obviously, Friday and Saturday night. Friday, we got the Storm hosting the Broncos. The Storm are roughly 10-point favourites. Some places it's 10.5 and 36.5 the total.
Give a shout out to a good friend of mine, Niall, and our friends Niall and Brian. They're getting married on Friday. Wedding is Friday night, so
Does that deserve a shout out though? Honestly, really, it deserves some sort of.
I just want to say, yeah, it's going to be a great occasion. Cannot wait to attend that one. And weddings are special, and I've been looking forward to this wedding for a while, and I've also kind of known for a while that there's a great chance this was always going to be Broncos versus Storm on Friday night to make the grand final, which we're going to be in attendance for as well. So look out for us. Look out for the pod. We'll be down there with a few characters, including the infamous Soul as well. So we'll be down in Sydney in a couple of weeks, which is exciting. We want to see our team play. We want to see the Broncos play. Whether they will is another story. The Melbourne Storm, we've said it, you know, all year, or at least probably a third of the way into the year, we've definitely accepted that this Melbourne Storm team is one of the best that we've ever seen across the board. I think the forward pack was underrated, but that forward pack can match up with anybody. Coaching-wise, they're kind of on a different level. They're playing chess when everyone else is just trying to play checkers. And that spine that won Queensland, you know, the Origin series, the entire spine, Munster's playing so well. Billy Slater, no one really could have predicted he could improve his game. And Cameron Smith to win the Dally M at the age of 33 or whatever he is, like, they've all played above expectations apart from maybe Kronk, but Kronk's still doing the job. So it's a sensational team, no doubt about it. Rested, fresh. They got a scare in week one, which is probably actually really good for them because they're not going to be complacent at all. They know that they need to be better than they were in week one. But at the same time, week one does show you that, you know, if it bleeds, you can kill it. Like, they're not unbeatable. And I've been saying this for a while. Like, the Storm, when they win, they look unbeatable. But if you can match them in the forwards, as we saw the Roosters did down in Melbourne in, like, kind of round 21, round 22, you can be in the game. Now, can Brisbane do that? For me, I don't know. Like, it will depend on who finally can line up for the Broncos. Like, do we know for certain that Darius Boyd's going to play? Do we know that Corey Oates are going to play? I think at least Oates would have to wait till game day pretty much to be cleared, wouldn't he?
Well, yeah. I mean, they've obviously both been named. Usually every week that we do this, we have multiple best bets. I have not got a great feel for both of these games, I'll be completely honest with you. Obviously Boyd named, I think he'll take the field. Oates is another story. Obviously he's been named as well, but whether or not he plays and how 100% he'll be, that was a solid fucking knock to Milf's shoulder, that's for sure. And you get Pangai Jr. back. So they're relatively full strength if, you know, you consider Boyd and Oates to be 100%, which they probably aren't. But I look at it this way. The Broncos have had a brutal, absolutely brutal stretch. This will be their third away game out of the last four. They've had tough games last week. They obviously had a brutal game against the Roosters the week before. I think the Storm, you know, according to the odds, they're the second lowest favourite going into the finals to any other team ever. And the number one was the Storm, you know, over a decade ago. So they're historically good, this Storm team.
That team was probably just quietly just over the cap as well.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, exactly. So under the cap, supposedly, this Storm team is the best team to ever have graced the field going into the finals. They're playing their fourth home game in a row. They've been chilling in Melbourne for a long, long time. Plus, they've got the week off. We say that's worth 1 point. I'd like to talk about chemistry for a bit because everyone's going to say, you know, they saw Benji be pretty average last week. Now, all the Broncos supporters are going to think, yeah, we've got Boyd coming back into the lineup. You know, he can shift back into fullback. Everything's going to be sweet and good. But I'm going to say it's actually not. They're not going to be, the chemistry is not going to be the same. They've had 2 weeks without Boyd now. They're not going to be able to gel as well as they did back in round 26. I'm going to be completely honest. I think the line's probably about right. I'm not laying 10 points in a finals game, in a preliminary finals game, because the total is so low. It's 36.5, and I'll probably have to lean to the under. But at the same time, 10 points is not enough for me to take a Broncos side that I know is probably, you know, about 6 points, about a converted try worse than the Storm. And then you factor in home field, you factor in the bye, you factor in Brisbane's, you know, fatigue from playing two tough games over the last 2 weeks. I'm going to say I'm staying away from everything in this game unless you can convince me otherwise.
Yeah, and maybe you're right. I mean, you know, that number isn't jumping out at me, and even 10.5 has been available, and 10.5 still on the board as well. Tony Roberts commenting that -9.5 on 365. So if you like the Storm, you could get the -9.5. If you like the Broncos, you could get +10.5, and that's what we're talking about.
I'd probably shopping prefer around -9.5 to +10.5.
Yeah, for me, maybe not. And I definitely appreciate all the points you're making, and that's why I haven't dipped in myself yet on +10.5. It probably depends for me as well. Like, does Oates definitely get named? I wouldn't jump out and bet Brisbane right now because they've probably got a chance of losing players between now and kickoff, whereas the Storm are definitely set and who's going to play. The thing about Darius Boyd, like we said, if he played last week, it would have been an improvement for Brisbane. You definitely want Darius Boyd out there if you're the Broncos, even if you're in the camp of people who thinks he's weak. He does improve that side with his experience, his vision, his talking, everything like that. And defensively, he does improve that side. The issue is here, you'd like to think that he would only play if he's 100%, but the fact is, you do kind of need to roll the dice. It's a preliminary final. He's the captain of the side, and there's that risk that he could play, and it's a hammy. Like, it's unpredictable, and you can twinge that thing, you know, early in the game, and you are really in strife. And I know that they'd probably carry Nikorima on the bench, and they could shuffle, and that's potentially what's going to happen, but then you still play a man short. So, thing is, if you do bet on Brisbane, you are taking that risk. You've got to factor that risk in, so that's worth something. Oates, yeah, so because it happened 7 days ago, he's got to be cleared maybe like up until tomorrow or maybe Friday to be cleared for the game. You'd think if he's cleared, he should be sweet to go. Now, if he's not, Brisbane has the luxury of having David Mead in there. Like, that's a pretty good backup.
He was good last week.
David Mead is a very solid player. Yeah, and he'll do a job for them. But at the same time, he's not quite a Corey Oates. And when the aerial threat that you do get from a Vunivalu, you would have loved to have Corey Oates out there. He has actually played awesome footy, and I think he's got 20 tries this year. So, you know, you have to admit that that's going to be a downgrade if he doesn't play. To get Pengai Jr. back in the side, I actually think that Brisbane's forwards can aim up here. I think, you know, they've got quite a deep forward pack. It's got blokes like SASA and Pengai have actually really been in, like, standouts this year. I know that we lost Corbin Sims a couple of weeks ago, but I think that they can actually match him in the forwards, and I don't think Brisbane's back line is actually that much worse than the Storm, you know? If I want to make the case for Brisbane, I kind of question, like, how good is Cooper Cronk? There's been a lot of talk that the Storm do win the penalty count down in Melbourne, but, you know, the Broncos is quite a smart side. They're well coached as well, and Bennett will go in with a game plan, and I think that game plan will definitely involve spreading the ball around and throwing it around in a lot of offloads, and that's why I'm not going to bet on that under. It's a logical under because they're both very good defensive sides. I think Brisbane, knowing that they have to kind of open it up a little bit, let it fly a little bit, you know, chance their arms, throw a cutout pass here and there and push that offload, is going to keep me away from betting on the under. And then for the Storm, as good as they are defensively, they're very clinical in attack as well, and they will take their chances, and they have, you know, probably the best pair of wingers in the comp. They're just deadly as well, finishing chances. So, you know what, I just think, yeah, you know, in a vacuum, you said, like, the extra rest, the home field advantage, the fact that the Storm are the better side, it leads you to the points total being 10. But what about the fact that it's 80 minutes away from a grand final? You know that it's going to be, like, a tight contest. You know that players get away with a little bit more, which inherently makes it closer. You know, those kind of factors, I feel. And also the fact that Brisbane hasn't really covered a line for a couple of weeks. I mean, depending on when you got last week's, maybe you covered with Brisbane like we did the week before. I mean, they did cover the plus four against the Roosters, but not like they haven't really had a really impressive victory, even conceding the late try against the Cowboys in front of bettors for a few weeks. So I don't think anybody really thinks that much of Brisbane, whereas everyone knows how good the Storm are, you know. So I think punters are siding with the Melbourne Storm, and they're going to assume that they're pretty much a lock in their multis and put the Storm in as a for the straight up win. But if I was to play this game, I'd probably wait to see that Oates and Boyd were sweet, and then I'd probably want to play the plus 10.5 if I had to pick a side.
Yeah, and that's fair enough. And I guess yeah, you're right. The punters may side with the Storm, but like we've said before, you know, this is a historically good team. It's like the New England Patriots, I guess. You know the public's going to be on them, but they just keep covering the spread. And if I'm to be completely honest, I think the Broncos are gassed. They looked gassed last week. They had to travel to Townsville in round 26, had a tough finals round one game against the Roosters. They had another tough grinding game against the Panthers last week. They looked tired. And again, against rested Storm side that, you know, although it's just clinical, relentless, just gets on with the job, with those outside backs, they can fucking put on some points. So, 10.5 is probably not enough for me to take the Bronx, even if, you know, Boyd and Oates are good to go. But we'll discuss this more in detail, you know, tomorrow morning and tonight. And then, like we said, we'll release all our best bets in the group tomorrow morning, every Thursday morning. You can join the group, just hit the link in the post. But we'll get on to Saturday's game. We've got the Roosters roughly laying 8 points. You can find 7.5. You can find 8.5 if you shop around, hosting the Cowboys, 36.5 the total.
And the first thing we do is we're going to look at the line and we're going to look at both sides. And if we kind of pick a side that we see value in, then that's going to maybe lead us to other bets. You know, it's not always just about playing the line. And that's what you're saying. We're going to look through every bookie, every market. And we find all sorts of value. We've bet on time of tries, you know, number of tries.
Time of first try after 8 minutes could be a good
And bet. Obviously all of your totals plays and margin plays. And we, you know, nailed the margin last week. And, you know, I think Melbourne Storm 13 plus is the most popular margin this week in the betting. Just to give you an idea of like where the punters are betting at the moment, where the money's going for. But I would, you know, probably feel a bit more comfortable with like a Melbourne Storm 1 to 12. In this one, we have made so much money on the Cowboys the last 2 weeks. And it's been so fun. And this is one of the things that I love about betting. The Cowboys aren't my team. But when you bet on games, the team you bet on is your team for that game. And it's been so fun having the Cowboys as our team and riding those Cowboys and having Jason Taumalolo and Morgan and you know, these blokes, Gavin Cooper and Lockie Coote and the heart that they're playing with. It's a fun team. They've got such good kind of chemistry. They've got so much heart. They do not beat themselves. They stay in there and they have been taking their chances and it's been awesome to watch. Now, can they beat the Roosters? Of course they can, because they can repeat the things they've done the last 2 weeks. They can defend really well. They can get repeat sets. They can control the ball. And if they can, you know, execute and score 2 or 3 tries, they're going to have a great chance to win. But the Roosters are not the Sharks. The Roosters are not the Eels. The Roosters are fresh. The Roosters are fully healthy. And I know it seems like a lot of points. And certainly the Cowboys shouldn't have been getting 8 points the last 2 weeks. But this week, I really just think the Cowboys will have a really tough time scoring points, and I think if they're chasing, they're going to be in serious trouble. And I hate to say it, because I'd much rather see the Cowboys beat the Roosters, but I think that the punters, with, you know, remembering how well the Cowboys did last week, the week before, the Roosters didn't cover last time they played, you know, snuck home against the Broncos. In fact, I went through the Roosters game logs. You've got to go back so far for the last time the Roosters had an impressive win, honestly. I mean, literally, I had to go back to about round 16 for the last time they won a game and covered, and that was when they beat the Tigers by 20, which didn't really impress anybody. I mean, you're going back so far, they've snuck home for wins against, like, the Bunnies, they've snuck home for wins against the Melbourne Storm that didn't play any Origin players. They beat the Sharks. Yes, that was pretty impressive at Shark Park, but, the hype, the talk after the game was all about the penalty that they got to win that game. They snuck home against the Titans. They've done anything but impressed people. And I think that's perfect situation for punters, the fact that this Roosters side is actually loaded. And, you know, one of the reasons that they haven't blown sides off the park is injuries. I want to talk about Boyd Cordner, Jake Friend, potentially the two best players on this team. Both got injuries that put them out for more than a month on the back half of the season. And that, you know, that's going to rattle any side to lose your best two players and your two captains. They've gotten the job done. The fact is, they have gotten the job done. And everyone's talking about Taumalolo. I think people are forgetting. I haven't heard anyone mention Boyd Cordner this week. He was the form back rower of the comp in the first kind of 10 weeks. And, you know, he got picked for New South Wales captain. And it kind of all went downhill after about 60 minutes of Origin game two, with his torn calf and with Queensland coming back. But he has a chance to kind of redeem himself. He's fresh now. He's recovered from his injury. He can have just as much of an impact on the game as Taumalolo can. Not to mention Warrior Hargraves has talked that he's, you know, called himself out to be the Taumalolo stopper. No one's mentioning Dylan Napa. The fact is, this Roosters forward pack, and I could name just about every single one of them, actually will have the edge over the Cowboys, which means that it's going to be so hard for the Cowboys to get a lot of good field position, because the Roosters can just roll up the field. And in the back line, you know, Tupou, I guess, is the only question mark with injuries, with that groin injury. But Winterstein, fuck me dead. What are is he injured? Is he deliberately trying to lose these matches?
I hope he's injured.
Is he betting on the opposition? I'm not sure what the story is there. I don't know why you don't just play Django. There does need to be. And, you know, so I'll roll the dice with Tupou. I mean, Latrell Mitchell's playing well. You know, Flash Gordon's doing well. you know, halves battle is going to be fascinating. Keary and Pierce up against Morgan and Tamari, you can argue that's going to be pretty even. But ultimately, it's the forwards that I think roll in this one. And I would actually lay the -7.5 with the Roosters.
Yeah, we actually, as soon as the Cowboys finished playing the Eels, we were texting each other. And I remember you asked me, you know, what did you think the line should be for the Cowboys versus Roosters? And I actually said it should be at least 10.5 to 12. And that's what I thought they would put this up as. That's why it confused the shit out of me when it came out to 7.5. I'm with you. This line makes no sense to me. Let me tell you why. You know, like you said, the Roosters, they're way better than the Sharks. They're way better than the Eels. Sharks and the Eels were both laying 8.5 points to the Cowboys. Now we're catching the Roosters. We can possibly get -7.5 for a far superior Roosters side to both the Sharks and the Eels coming off a bye. Not only that, we've got the Roosters playing their fifth straight game in Sydney. We've got the Cowboys playing their third straight road game. And like I said with the Eels-Cowboys game, the Cowboys got dominated in the forwards by the Eels. And although the Eels have a solid forward pack, it's no Roosters forward pack. I think the Roosters are going to fucking roll down the field, like you said. I think their halves are probably slightly better. They definitely have an advantage on the wings and outside backs. Winterstein is absolutely terrible, like we saw last week. You know, the slight revenge factor for the Cows, they lost to the Roosters about 6 weeks or 6 to 7 weeks ago, you know, in a converted try game. But I just think, you know, we've got a Roosters side at home, off the bye. You know, you've got a Cowboys side that's just been fighting tooth and nail, not only to make the finals, but then also in finals week one and week two, having to come from behind in both games to win. They're emotionally drained. They're physically drained. I think this is dead set the end of the road for them. I think the Roosters could put up a massive score. I think Roosters fucking roll here. I think Roosters are at least a converted try better than the Cowboys. You've got, you know, I'd say half a point worth for having 5 straight games at home. You got half a point worth for the Cowboys playing their third straight road game. You got a point for the bye week. And I just think, you know, you got 2.5 points for home field. I think this line should be closer to 2 converted tries. 7.5 is dead set cheap for me. I think Roosters roll.
Yeah, and we're not here saying that the Roosters are guaranteed to win because you've seen what the Cowboys can do. And we do think there's a massive edge there with, like, kind of freshness. Not so much injuries because, in fact, if we're going to talk about injuries, you have to mention Matt Scott because that's the talking point. He's been named in the 21 jersey. But the reason we're not talking about Matt Scott is because, look, he probably won't play. Maybe he's been named because he's a bit of a chance and he could cover. You know, if anything, I think the worrying sign is if they're desperate enough to play Matt Scott, it could be because they've got concerns over...
And also...
Ivan Drago. Who am I
and also, I mean... Matt Scott, even if he plays, he doesn't move the line for me. I mean, you know, he's not going to be 100%, let's be honest. I know he's supposedly been running for weeks, but even if he plays, you know, only the very, very best forwards in the game, you know, move the needle by perhaps, you know, half a point, would you say? I'd say that's probably...
Yeah, and sorry, I was thinking of Cohen Hess. Cohen Hess was ginger in that game. He's a massive impact forward. They're talking about maybe Matt Scott plays if Hess's knee isn't good. So, if anything, if that's the case, I would much rather have a healthy Cohen Hess than a Matt Scott off 6 months layoff. So, yeah, you know, look, if he plays, he's going to play 20 minutes, 25 minutes. The best impact he's going to have is just the motivation. But this side is already motivated. And, you know, Winterstein could score a hat-trick and they could defend for their lives and they could win, sure. But what we're here to say is that the Roosters probably win this game by 8 or more. 60% of the time or more, that's the way we see it. And I definitely think if the Roosters get a lead, they can compound it. And that's where a lot of those factors that you're talking about, the travel for the Cows versus just being able to stay at home for the Roosters, the fatigue factors, mental and physical, that kicks in when you're down. And the Roosters know, they know as well as anyone that they haven't put teams to bed and they haven't played a complete 80. And I think they're very conscious of that. So I do think Trent Robinson's a good coach, and I think they've got a good leadership group, and I do expect a great performance by the Roosters, and that's what it will take to beat the Cows. But the fact is, yeah, once they get up 1 try, it could easily be 2 or 3 try lead, and it's definitely the only way you could look, and I think we will find a couple of best bets on the Roosters. People are commenting you can get -6.5, so I don't know if we'll lock in -7.5 just yet. I've been looking at the markets, and I do think, if anything, the money is for the Cowboys for the reasons that we've said, just recency bias and just the amazing things the Cows have done. And I've seen in places where it's +8 that the +8 is juiced and stuff like that. So I think that, there'll be opportunities to grab that 7.5. So we don't have to rush, but that's definitely what we're going to be grabbing.
And I think that Matt Scott being named in the reserves is a much bigger story than it should be. I mean, there's probably your average punters out there that will bet on the Cowboys given Matt Scott's in. But like we said, to us, it does not move the needle at all. It doesn't move the line for us at all.
Because who's he going to be replacing? Like a forward who's been playing well? Like, is he going to replace Scott Bolton or Matt Asiata? You know, like, those guys have been playing the house down as well. So
exactly right. And I mean, people like to, you know, your average punter likes to sort of form a narrative, and they probably think, you know, this is a team of destiny, this Cowboys team, you know, big underdogs, win week 1 and week 2 of the finals, you know, maybe they'll go all the way. But I honestly can't see it happening. And one of the things that I sort of worry about slightly taking the Roosters is if they can put in a full 80-minute performance, because they have been known to sort of slack off for periods of a time. And the Cowboys do tend to put in for 80 minutes. But I think, you know, off the bye, you know, having squeaked home against the Broncos, I expect them to put the foot down. Even if they're up by 12 points, I expect them to not have a lapse in concentration given it's a prelim final. I think you can't treat it like a regular season game. I think you have to think the Roosters will put in a full 80 minutes.
Well, they were beating Brisbane 14-0, weren't they? And they ended up trailing in that game. So I think when a good side does gets a scare like that, it actually does them the world of good, because I think that they really do make an effort and they remember the pain of that one or the scare that they got, and they look to improve. So definitely looks like we will find value in the second of the two semis, and we'll probably still find something we can get some action on in the first game, because we want to have a punt if we can, but at the same time, you don't win 60% of the time by reaching, because when you reach, the TAB or the bookies are going to teach. But we will do our best, as we always do. All right, quick question I'm going to throw at you right now. Most likely grand final, Storm Roosters. What will the line be, if that's the case? What's your guess?
Storm will be 5.5-point favourites.
Yeah, and we don't know, and it does depend on the manner in which they win this weekend. But yeah, I was going to guess the Storm would be exactly a -6 favourite. So that's how it's looking. But look, anything can happen, as we've seen through the last couple of weeks, and you know, looking forward to a couple barn burning clashes, because Brisbane, I think, has a chance to compete. The Cowboys, if we bet Roosters, we don't want them to compete too hard, but they do have a chance as well. So it's exciting stuff. And in our group, you got tips on that, plus the AFL. If you're into the AFL, you got a couple of ripping prelims as well this weekend.
And the NFL football, too.
Soccer's back in, NFL, college football, baseball. I mean, rugby union, test matches and everything, it's all happening. It's a great time to be alive, isn't it?
I mean, our NFL expert, Nettie, who does a write-up, an awesome write-up, you have to check it out. So join the group. He does a big write-up every single, our time, Sunday or Saturday. And he's gone 11 wins, 3 losses, the first 2 weeks in a row of the NFL. So, you know, you're pretty much making, if you're putting $100 on each of those bets, you're up $1,500 over those first 2 weeks. So he's 22-6 over the first 2 weeks of the NFL. That is absolutely crushing it.
I mean, that's pod percentages, so that's what we love to see. That's enough for tonight. So thanks everyone who tuned in. We're excited, of course, for the last weekend of more than one footy game. And then after that, it's the final big dance. And then that's it for footy until next year. So we've got to savour these final matches, but hopefully we can continue our winning run, one all season, one first week of the finals, one last week, and we'll put our heads together and we'll win again this week.
Sounds good, buddy. We'll see you guys all next week. See you then.